because if you want to talk about a cargo cult, we don't have to go to Melanesia. We can go to the grocery store. So there is something called a cargo cult, which was developed as a pejorative term against indigenous people in Melanesia. The term was originated by planters and other Western colonists to describe how the local people, when they were first introduced to Western goods and consumerism, would make a religion of magical thinking that the goods would magically appear. So that if the goods were brought in by an airplane, they would then think, well, if we make a runway, that will make the airplanes appear with Western goods. Or if we make a place for a ship to land, that will make the ship magically appear, and that will make the goods magically appear. And that's how the term is commonly used. And so there's a line I want to walk here, because on one hand, it really was developed pejoratively about the non-sophisticated people, sophisticated, non-sophisticated in quotes. And I don't want to push the notion that that indigenous people are not particularly sophisticated. And on the other hand, it was true that some of them did participate in magical thinking. And what I'm really interested in is the line by Jesus about don't worry about the mote in your neighbor's eye when there's a beam in your own, because if you want to talk about a cargo cult, we don't have to go to Melanesia. We can go to the grocery store, or we can go to Walmart. Because the notion in this culture is, it's like Field of Dreams, except it's Field of Consumeristic Nightmares, that if you build it, the goods will come. And there's this notion, I don't understand how people don't make the connection as to where their energy comes from, where their clothes come from, where their food comes from, where all the items on the shelves come from. You hear all these people who talk about, for example, sustainable cities, and how cities are the sustainable way to live in the future. That's a giant cargo cult, because where do these people think that the bricks come from to build the buildings? Where do they think the sand comes from to build the skyscrapers? Where do they think the water comes from? Where do they think the shit goes? Where do they think the toilet paper comes from? Where do they think their electronics are made? People talk about, oh, it's so great, they're going to build this huge solar facility. Like, where do you think the materials come from for that? And who is living on that land right now? Oh, this is a sideline, but I just want to mention it. There's an article in the recent, I graduated from the Colorado School of Mines. There's an article in the recent Colorado School of Mines alumni magazine that talks about, a green oil field. And because they're going to put in the largest solar energy facility in California, and the purpose of this will be to run the electricity for the oil wells on an oil field in California, which is making the oil field green. So, the energy that we use to drive a car does not magically appear. It comes from somewhere. This is true if your car is electric as well. So, this entire culture is a giant cargo cult, where you open your freezer and fish sticks magically appear, and where you know, one of the things I do every 2 months is I drive over to Medford to get a medical treatment, and then I drive back. It's about a 2.5 hour drive each way, and the medical treatment is keeping me alive. That's all good, which doesn't alter the fact that Western industrial medicine is one of the things killing the planet, but the key thing here is that I find it extraordinary. I actually, the bag that contains the medicine is, I don't know, let's say a half a liter. And most of that is water. And the actual amount of stuff, of medicine that I get is, I don't know, let's say it'd be a powder this volume. Let's say it's, I don't know, 2 grams. Let's say it's 5 grams. Doesn't matter. Because the interesting thing is that I take a couple thousand pounds of metal for 150 miles and then a couple thousand pounds of metal back, all in order to get this much medicine. And that's an example of how, you know, I think about this all the time, that William R. Catton talked about ghost slaves. And what those are energy slaves that, I think about this, there's a light on up there, and then, you know, this laptop is drawing some power, but not very much. And the way to think about ghost slaves is how many people would it take to be riding bicycles and generating that electricity. And we are profligate in our energy use because we're not the ones having to ride these bicycles. Instead, they are provided by what he called ghost slaves. Those are slaves. So that's the equivalent amount of energy that we get from prehistoric sunlight that has been converted into what they call fossil fuels. And one reason we can use all of this energy in such a profligate fashion is that we're not the ones providing the energy. We're not the ones riding those bicycles. And that's how I can drive 150 miles with a 2,000 pounds of metal, because I'm not the one carrying it. And it's the same. You know, I go to the grocery store. It's so silly. Like, oh shoot, I forgot to get candy bars. So I can drive to the store. I drive a 2,000 pound vehicle or however much it weighs vehicle, 3 miles to the store and 3 miles back to get a pound of chocolate. And then again, where did the chocolate come from? This is something, I know I'm jumping all over on this, but this is something that we don't think about at all, is that where did the stuff come from? I did this, and I think it was A Language Older Than Words. I did this discussion of, I followed back where all the food came from this delightful meal that my friend and I had at a Vietnamese restaurant. And, you know, the chicken was, the broccoli came from Mexico, and the chicken was raised in Arkansas in just horrible conditions, and the broccoli was raised in horrible conditions too. The chicken was raised in horrible conditions in Arkansas, sent off to, you know, some other place to be processed, and then taken up to Spokane where we ate it. And that's just, and I had chickens in my backyard at that point. And so the point is that the entire global economy has turned us all into members of a cargo cult who think that if you take these little pieces of paper, that all of a sudden all these magical consumer items appear. And so ultimately there's that. And then there's also, as always, it kind of cracks me up that when people talk about cargo cults, they talk about those unsophisticated indigenous people who believed that all this stuff would magically appear. As always, they are heaping scorn on somebody else who is doing a minuscule version of what they themselves are doing on a global scale.